So often on Sunday, the person who leads the prayer up here says, "We are a praying church," or some version of that. And someone asked me recently what that means. She wanted to know, if you're not an official member of the prayer team, is there something you're supposed to be doing? What a great question. What does it mean to say we are a praying church? It sounds so good. So first, let me tell you the mechanics of prayer in this church as a group. Every week, someone leads the gathering prayer. Marge just did that. Usually that same person stays after the service up here to pray with anyone who asks, one-on-one, confidentially. They've had some training for both those jobs, to pray here and to pray there. At the same time, you all can submit written requests and leave them in the prayer box at the back of the sanctuary. So, after the service every Sunday, I gather up those slips and I type them up and I email them to our silent prayer team. That team is 18 or 20 people who volunteered to pray every week for those who submit requests. There's nothing required except their willingness. Once a year, we get together for some kind of class or meeting or lunch for people who are interested in the prayer team, and new people can sign up for it. We did that in March. They're silent in that they pray silently on their own. And the names of the people on the team are not released publicly. Now, they can tell you they're on the team, but I don't announce it for three reasons. One is that public fanfare for people who are praying just seems jarring to me. I acknowledge them and I thank them, but we don't make a fuss the way we do over most volunteers. Another reason is the privacy of those asking for prayer. If you submit a request, you may not want to turn around and see three or four people that you know will know what's going on in your life, which is also why some people don't even put their name on the prayer request. The third reason is Unity tradition. Unity was founded on the power of prayer. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore discovered in the 1800s that affirmative prayer healed them of lifelong physical disabilities. And they began to write about what they'd learned. They did not start a church, they started a magazine. And people started sending them letters asking for prayer. So Myrtle Fillmore established Silent Unity. At first, she answered all the letters herself. Later, she had a whole staff of people to answer letters on manual typewriters. Eventually, telephones took over and now email. But for 120 years, someone has always been praying in the chapel at Silent Unity, at Unity Village in Missouri. They now answer 2 million calls and letters and emails every year. So when I email your prayer request to the church team, I also send them to Silent Unity online at the same time. And they are kept in the prayer chapel there for 30 days, where someone is always praying. So you are covered. The prayer workers at Silent Unity never identify themselves on the phone or in the letters because prayer is an exercise in oneness. No one person's prayers are better or stronger or more powerful than another. Prayer transcends personality. And that's important to remember for this church. Our silent prayer team is no more special than anyone else. They just committed to take that list every week and spend some time in prayer. But anyone can pray for anyone here. You don't have to have the list. And in fact, it has very little information on it. It's usually first name, basic request, like Ellen Healing. And by the way, much better, thank you. Sometimes there's not even a name, but Spirit knows the name and the need. So it's possible for any of us to pray for each other. We're not asking for specific outcomes in prayer anyway. We are affirming the highest and best in whatever form it takes. So I wanted to talk today about Unity's understanding of prayer in three ways. What is prayer? What is God? Because your concept of God determines how you pray. And then how do we pray for others? So first, what is prayer? It's communion with God. It's reestablishing our sense of oneness with all that is. So think of it this way. You know, we often say that we are God in the sense that a drop of ocean water is the ocean. It's not the whole ocean, but it contains the elements of ocean. So we are not all that God is, but we are divine, made in the image and likeness of God. We contain the elements or attributes of spirit. So it's only natural that we long to feel part of that whole. Like a drop of water naturally returns to the ocean. We seek that kind of merging with source. It may be our most basic instinct. And prayer is anything we do to feel that oneness, to immerse ourselves in God. Charles Fillmore called this state of oneness the silence. We open ourselves to the presence of the divine in us and around us. We have access to all that God is. Nothing is lacking in God. So in prayer, we remember that whatever we need is right here already. The healing, the abundance, the guidance, the love. God is not a supreme being deciding how much good we deserve. God is the health, the abundance, the guidance, the love. We're living in an ocean of it. So we affirm our good. We declare or claim its existence in spirit, even if we can't see it yet. That's what Unity calls affirmative prayer. We know that all is well. Now, of course, most of us approach prayer with specific requests, at least sometimes. That's why we're careful with our words. Do you know the meaning of the word amen? It means so it is, so be it. This is true. So what do you want to declare is true? God, help me, I'm sick and broke. So be it, this is true. No. We want to declare, I am healthy and abundant, so be it. And that little voice argues, but you're not healthy and abundant. Well, maybe not right now, today. But God is health and abundance, and everything God is already here. We have to release the idea that prayer is a transaction. That we're asking for something to be delivered, like an order from Amazon. Imagine you're just living in the Amazon warehouse. All you have to do is walk around and pick out what you want. Why would we not do that? Because we don't believe it's possible. I can't just decide what I want and claim it. I'm not living in a world of abundance. I'm broke. I'll never have everything I want. I don't deserve it. I'm not ready for it. I'm too young, too old. I don't have enough money or enough time. Those negative beliefs block our good. We're standing in the middle of the warehouse, refusing to believe our good is here. Prayer doesn't change the way God treats us. God already is nothing but love and goodness and joy. Prayer changes us to remove the blocks. It allows us to cooperate with the good, to align with it. Now, that view of God may be different for some of us. So let's talk about what God is or where we're aiming these prayers. And it's easy to get confused in Unity. Sometimes we talk about God as all that is. And sometimes we talk about God within. Neither is the familiar God we prayed to as children. We say God is not an old man in the clouds watching and judging and sending us blessings. But a lot of people feel a loss without that. Nobody wants to be judged. But the idea of God watching our individual lives has been a source of comfort and guidance. We want a power greater than ourselves that we can talk to and ask for help. Otherwise, we feel like either we're praying to ourselves or we're praying into the great cosmos where no one is listening. This is why I was so happy to discover Ken Wilber's concept of the three faces of God. I spoke about that last year, and I'm starting a 6-week radio show about it on June 3rd, which is not tomorrow, but the next Monday, on Unity Online Radio. The three faces are God is all there is, God is within each of us, and then God in relationship to us. That relationship is still not with an entity, not a being with human qualities like wrath or judgment, That sounds more like a king. And that was the best image people had 5,000 years ago when they started thinking maybe there's only one God. Like a king, God was male. He had favorites and enemies. He demanded obedience. He dispensed favors. That's the view of God many of us escaped. And a lot of us switched first to a God who's still a king, but a benevolent dictator. He still wants obedience, but it's for our own good. So we imagined this daddy God, sometimes like Superman saving the day, sometimes Santa Claus giving us what we want. Then we showed up at Unity, and we heard God is a force field of love and intelligence, as well as a divine power within, a higher self, a power greater than our human selves, and also a presence that lives in us, through us, and as us. We'll try to sort all this out on the radio show, how God is understood in Unity, in traditional Christianity, and in other religions. But the good news is, you can have any God you want. We'll never get our minds around all that God is, like a drop of water can't conceive of the whole ocean. So use the concept that works for you. You can have all three faces, depending on what you need. God as all that is, one presence and one power. God within you, living as you. That's the talk next week. And then God in relationship to you, with you. Did you know prayer is good for your physical health? Studies show. Immersion into the presence of spirit or the silence lowers your blood pressure, calms your mind, brings peace. And why wouldn't it? Prayer is remembering the truth that we are whole and complete, lacking nothing. That God is in every situation, that bodies heal naturally, that love is the most powerful force on earth, and that well-being is dominant on the planet. It is. What you see on the news are just the glitches. Most people, most of the time, are fine. But how do we pray when they're not fine? We say praying for others is the most powerful thing we can do for them. So how do we pray for others? Roger Teal, religious science minister in Denver, said in an interview the other day, when we pray for someone, our temptation is to think we're sending prayers to them or telling the universe to take care of them. But we pray for others within ourselves. When we take someone into our prayer and know the truth about them, we are one with them in that very moment. That becomes an active blessing right then and there. So I asked our silent prayer team what I should tell you about prayer today. And one of them said she consciously tries to align her energy with those who make requests. So she will feel herself healthy and energetic for someone who has asked for healing. She'll feel herself in harmony in relationships. She'll feel abundance. She's matching the energetic vibration that the person is intending, aligning her prayer thoughts with theirs. It is easier to pray for people you don't know. That's one reason we give so little information to the prayer team. It is easier for me to stand in faith, knowing that you are whole and complete and your good is available, when I'm not bogged down in the details of your story, when I haven't seen you lying in a hospital bed, when I don't know the horrible things your spouse said or how sick your grandchild is. But life being what it is, our most fervent prayers are for others when we do know the details of their circumstances. And the most challenging part of praying for others is to get past our own worry and fear. My friend Janet Connor writes beautiful books about accessing the divine within. Her son went to federal prison last week for refusing to testify to a grand jury in New York. They wanted him to name his political activist friends on the left. This is McCarthy again. And he wouldn't do it. He's 24. He's not accused of any crime except keeping silent. How does a mother pray in those circumstances? This is her only child. She's proud of him and she's terrified for him. So Janet went to her favorite chapel and prayed about how to pray. She asked, "How do I pray for my son? How do the mystics pray?" And the answer she got may be the perfect prayer for anyone we love in any situation. And I have her permission to share it with you. So this is how she says it. "The divine in me, through me, and as me, blesses my precious son, Jerry, honors his soul's divinely appointed mission, and showers him with grace." That's it. She is not asking for an outcome. She is not labeling the circumstances good or bad. She's not telling God what to do. She is supporting her son on his soul's journey. So you can use this prayer for anyone. You don't even need to know a name. And this is how we can pray for each other in this church, because we are a praying church. "The divine in me, through me, and as me blesses," fill in the blank. You can put a name, you can say all those in need, you can say all those who submitted requests in the prayer box. "The divine in me, through me, and as me blesses all those in need, honors their soul's divinely appointed missions, and showers them with grace." It is a prayer full of love that acknowledges we cannot know another's path. We do not know what's best for them. We do know their good is right here, right now, available through the creative activity of Spirit. We see them immersed in divine love. And we know for them and for ourselves that all is well. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. To meditate, we become even more comfortable and still. You might want to take a deep breath. Remember, that is the breath of Spirit flowing through you. It is that life force that animates you and everyone you love. Spirit is in everyone you love and everyone else. The divine is in each of us. That's how we are one with each other, one with God, part of the whole, like drops of water in the ocean. We are never separate from the creative source of our being. The divine lives in us, through us, and as us. So let these words be your words. The divine in me, through me, as me, blesses and bring to mind anyone you want to pray for. I honor their soul's divinely appointed mission. The divine in me showers them with grace. I know their wholeness. I know their good is always available to them. And I know that God lives in them, through them, and as them as well. They are not separate or alone. They have me and they have God. they are showered with grace and love. And so it is. Amen.